Well, good morning, everybody. So glad that you're here with us today. Just wondering what you think. Can you recognize a follower of Jesus by just looking at him? This is a great time if you want to get your Jesus on look-wise. I mean, you know, with the costumes that are out there, we've got a couple others that are here. I mean, just picture yourself in this. I mean, everything you need for the look, right? The disciples' look. So, I mean, realistically, just looking at a person, can you from the outward tell whether a person's a follower of Jesus or not? Yes or no? You know, it's interesting that Jesus said yes. And importantly, he said yes. He said there's some things that people are just going to see and they're going to know that you're a follower of mine. Now, it wasn't necessarily your costuming, so don't go there. But he said by looking at a person, here's what you're going to recognize. There's these four dynamics of a disciple. The first is love. The second is hope. The third, faith. And the fourth, grace. Did you say them just once with me? Love, hope, faith, and grace. Now, these are not all of the characteristics of Jesus. These are not all of the Christ-like impacts that a disciple might wear or be recognized by. These are not all of the works of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit within us. These are not all of the workings of God that might mark us and that people would know that whether or not a person's a disciple or not. What these are, Jesus said, are essentials. And that they're foundational for being a follower or for being a disciple of His. On the one hand, you could say, love, hope, faith and grace, these are the basics. The basics if you are going to be a disciple of Jesus. But they're also then the tools for the intermediate. They're the tools for the advanced. And did you know that love, hope, faith, and grace are the tools for those that would be at an expert level, if anybody would consider yourself at an expert level as a follower of Jesus? You could think about these like scales to a musician. Concert pianist began his learning music with working with the scales, but he never, ever forgot them. In fact, the one who makes the most beautiful music is the one that's always going back and working, taking those basics and continuing to develop them and sharpen them and get better and better and better at them. Same thing could be said for a professional athlete. These would be the fundamentals in whatever the sport it is that you're playing. As long as you have the basics down, but then you work them and develop them and use them, you can become better and better and take whatever gifts that you have and use them to the best of their ability. I mean, today, all of us hope that the Packers don't forget the fundamentals, right? Especially on defense, tackling the fundamentals right there. And if they don't, we would think good outcome that's going to be coming that way. But the importance of these kind of bring us back again now to our dig deep maxim. This statement that Jesus wants all of us to hear. And that is that there's so much more. He would say there is so much more that love has to offer you and that love has to bring out. And I want you to discover it and I want to bring it out of you. There's so much more with hope. There's so much more with faith. There's so much more with grace. He would say there's so much more in being a disciple of mine. And that's what makes this so sad. It is sad that many have defaulted for just being a Christian rather than being a disciple of Jesus. We think about, the contrast. Being a Christian is a good thing, right? I mean, it's a good thing if you tell people that you're a Christian. But a disciple, that's a little bit different. You can be a Christian and it doesn't cost you anything. Being a disciple, you know that it is. Being a Christian for many is just a passive thing. It's what I am, and we passively reside in it. Whereas being a disciple can't be passive and be a disciple. So often we call a disciple a follower of Jesus. You know, it's that active that's there. Another one of the sad things, I think, being a Christian, it really isn't inspiring. It's not like this life-changing thing to me right now. You know, gets my, you know, my heart going a little bit quicker. A disciple, though, that's something you can give your life to. And whatever it is your career is, but leaning into that, that is a new, that is a living challenge that just kind of, you know, that just compels us and calls us on, you know, upward. That said, these four dynamics being the essentials they are, whether we're learning them on the basic level or where we're working them on the master, the expert level up here, it's important for us to understand them, right? To unpack them a little bit. So last week, we took the first two, which was love and hope. If you weren't with us, they're all online. You know, we'd love for you. You know, just go back, check that out. Today, we want to take the last two, which will be faith and then grace. We want to start with faith. So if you have a Bible, would you take it right now and turn with me to the book of Luke? We're going to chapter 17 and verse number 5. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab a pew Bible somewhere nearby, open it up, page 1628, to be able to look at this particular instance in the disciples' lives. The disciples have been watching Jesus now. They had noted what he taught about faith. They noted how he modeled and lived faith. And to be quite honest, they felt deficient in faith. So we pick it up, verse number 5. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Jesus replies, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Let's think about this for just a second. First of all, just the interesting statement, the statement itself. The disciples asking Jesus, "Would you increase our faith?" They're saying this, "Jesus, we know, we sense, we want more faith. We need more faith." I mean, we would say, if I had a chance to talk to Jesus today and ask him a question, I would ask, "Can you help me to have more faith? How many feel that you could use a little bit more faith in your life?" Can I see your hands? All right. So you know what they're, you know what the disciples are like. It's just kind of like, we know we need more faith. Can you help us with this, Jesus, please? And here's the interesting thing that happens then. Now they'd heard Jesus say on a number of occasions, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. And they're just kind of going like, "Oh, I am such a failure," right? I mean, like, "Oh, this is not making things any better." And then they work up their nerve. "So can you help us to have this, you know, we give us the, you know, the secret to having a lot of faith in our lives." And that's when Jesus makes this statement to them. He says, "You don't need more faith." Can you just feel it with the disciples? They're just like, "Huh?" Like, he goes like, "No, you don't need more. If you have faith as big as a mustard seed." Now, I got to ask you, when it comes to having faith the size of a mustard seed, which I just happen to have one right here, as a matter of fact, this, you know, if I came at it from the other way, I mean, recognize the, you know, the similarities there. So this, if you can see that, that is the mustard seed. I've got one here right now. In fact, this is mustard seed. How many would say that you have at least this much faith? Okay? You got at least this much. Okay. If you have this much faith, Jesus says, then you've got enough. That is enough for you to act on. Now, if you're wondering, like, how much faith do you need? I have in this jar enough faith for the entire church here right now. That's all we would need to be active that way. In fact, if you would like your own mustard seed, I'm going to put these right here. You may come and help yourself and take one home. And parents, not to be alarmed, this is not a choking hazard. So you do not have to even worry about that. So Jesus said, you don't need more. He said, you need to use what you have. Now we're going to learn in just a second. It's not that Jesus doesn't want your faith to grow. It's not that he doesn't want your faith to increase. But what we need to know, first of all, is what you have right now is enough for you to begin and for you to use and to do some incredible things. That is, the mulberry, and Jesus wasn't talking about landscaping at this point with your faith, you know, ripping one out with faith and putting it there. He just made this point. If you have just such a little bit of faith, you could do something that is this significant. Now, what is faith? I mean, really important for us just to, again, like very important to establish the baseline. In the Bible, faith, and Jesus, here's what he would say. Faith is when we take God at his word and trust him. Here's what God said, and I'm going to act on what God has said. I'm going to act on what God has told me. That's a trust for him. Romans tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which I think is even more, you know, advantageous to us right now. So many of us are reading through the New Testament. And if you're doing that right now, reading through the New Testament, I think I need to publicly acknowledge that I might have understated what it would take to do so. I think I might have said something like, you can follow the reading plan and like in 15 minutes you can get through it. I might have said that. If it wasn't on tape, I would even lessen that. But I mean, you know, somebody pull it up and go, okay, so I might have said that. Anybody that's doing the reading right now, it's taking you more than 15 minutes? Okay, now for everybody that just raised your hand, I just want to modify that a little bit. Maybe it might be closer to 20 or 25 or 25 plus that's in there. So I'll say, it's even a greater challenge for us, but I know you're finding this, that it's worth it. When you go through and each day making those readings, I want to encourage you to keep doing that. I mean, we may have you know, some catch up to do sometimes, or if you're just coming with us right now, we're reading through the New Testament. You can start today with where we're at. You can pick up a plan either in the gym or just go online. We've got it on our website. We've got the audio on the website as well if you want that, or on our church app. Love to have you do this. For one of the reasons, because you're going to have a lot of faith feeders that you're going to be coming across, even as you're reading through the New Testament that way. Jesus, in helping his disciples to engage their faith, develop their faith, did it with two primary ways. Here's what they are. Jesus helped his disciples to use what they had to grow, first of all, by exercising it. In other words, Jesus would regularly give them, you know, like daily different challenges or things they would come across that they could take God at his word and trust him. This exercising of our faith, I mean, you might think of it like this. If you're beginning, and we'll move it up the scale from there. How many here have learned how to swim? Can I see your hands? You've learned how to swim. Okay, great. Those of you that learned how to swim, how many had to learn on your own? Okay, several of you. I don't know if you had the experience of a loving parent that said, that's the deep end. Right? Don't know if you had that experience. How many had some instruction in learning to swim? Okay, so you'll be able to identify this. I think everybody else will be able to connect with it, but you're going to know firsthand with that. When you're getting instruction in learning how to swim, everything sounds good, right? If you're sitting in a classroom and they tell you, you know, you just put your face in the water and you put your hands out this, you just relax in there. I mean, that sounds good. When you sit on the edge of the pool, still everything's pretty good. Even if you're with the instructor, they're holding your hands right there, you know, kind of you're comfortable in the water as long as you're holding your hands that way, right? I mean, it's all good in theory. But when you, for the first time, get out in water above your head, what changes? Everything. I mean, the theory moves from, hey, this is real water there, and you can begin to feel maybe some of that fear coming over you, especially if the water's a little bit over your head. Or, you know, you get a wave that comes up in your face, or unfortunately, you know, you take a gulp of water, and you're like, oh, you know, at that point, and you're ready to panic, right? The only way that you will learn to swim, you can all the instructions good, but it's not until you begin to apply it that you begin to get out there that you begin to understand what it is to be able to swim. Are you seeing the faith connection right here? Now, for those of you that have gone a little bit further, and you consider yourself intermediate, maybe expert level when it comes to faith, swimming to you would be more like an open water, an ocean swim. Now, if you haven't had the thrill of swimming open water in the ocean, it's totally different than being in a pool. For one, you don't look down and see lines. You may look down and see something that you wish you didn't see. In fact, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff there. And there's currents and tide. There's things pulling on you that way, and the water can be kind of rough. Much more challenging. And at the same time, if you've done it, it's exhilarating. That's out there. It will challenge, it will stress you a little bit, and you're just kind of like, when you're done, it's like, that was so fulfilling to you. So it is as we learn to exercise or use our faith. Now, one of the greatest faith exercisers would be when it comes to money and it comes to giving. To trust God with giving, to follow a prompting of God in what he's asking me to do, I mean, that can be a real test. It can be a real challenge. In fact, let me just ask in honesty with everybody here for just a second, umbrella of grace, but honesty, how many here have ever struggled in the area of giving or money? I mean, maybe not lately, but maybe years and years ago, you know, like a long time ago. There was a time in your life, though, but the whole matter of giving money aspect of following God, that was a little bit of a struggle. Can I see your hands? Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's that real part, right? I mean, you know, can I trust God here? I mean, we find this a little bit funny when we do this. We go like, hey, we just want you to, you know, Field of Dreams. Hey, we just want you to take this Field of Dreams card and just pray about it. You know, just pray, God, what do you want me to do? And we find ourselves going like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pray about that. If I ask God what he wants me to do, he might what? He might tell me something, right? Like, you know, then what am I going to do, right? I mean, it's that whole testing. Do you see just where we can find ourselves at times? Like, oh, yeah, I trust God. Pray about, I'm a little bit worried. I don't know if I can do that or not, right? See, that's our faith gets put to the test. And it's not until you get your faith put to the test that you learn how God is and can be at work in our lives. Another way of this, we've said it around here for a while, it's your next yes to God. In other words, what is it that you know God wants you to do? Will you do it? If you'd say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it is you ask me to do, and just praying that prayer, would you be willing to do that? I mean, our examination, we're going to get here in just a second. If you ask yourself, what do I know God wants me to do now? What do I know God wants me to do next? That's going to be where you get to exercise your faith or step back. The second way that Jesus leveraged in helping the disciples to develop their faith was in the area of questions. In other words, he wanted them to question what he was at. He wanted them to question the things that they were wondering, to get their questions out in the open. Because Jesus knew this. He knew a faith that can't be questioned, it's either fragile or it's fraudulent. We need to be very comfortable in being able to ask questions about our faith. And I know that sounds strange, right? How can doubt and faith be compatible? How can they go together? Because doubt is the stepping stone for where faith wants to go. So we don't want to push our doubts down or be in denial about our doubts. I mean, we just want to face them. You don't want to use them as an excuse just to shut you down. But I mean, you want to allow them to go like, yeah, here's what I'm wondering and here's what I don't understand. And to ask those hard questions, because I guarantee you they will be a stepping stone for our next faith that way. And all of us can experience this so much more factor that faith will bring to our lives as we begin to use what it is that we have. That's all I'll say about that, because I don't want to wear us out mentally to finish up, because we want to be able to think about grace for just a minute as well. Remember, there's four dynamics: love, hope, faith, and grace. This fourth one, there's two summary statements that were made, and they're made by very, very famous people. One of them is this about grace. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I mean, you hear those words, "I am what I am." Some of you are thinking, "Wow, Popeye said that." Others are going like, "I think Eminem said that." I mean, you know, the generational difference with that. But in this case, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Do you know what disciple, what apostle said this? The apostle Paul. Yeah, Paul said that. And he said it at a time in his life when people are looking at him, they're just kind of like, how do you explain this? I mean, here's where he was, here's where he, you know, where he'd come to, here's all the things he'd accomplished. And Paul just goes like, hey, I understand this more than ever. I am where I am today because of the grace of God. Another apostle summed things up this way. He said, "Continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, if you had to take a wild guess about what apostle said this, you would say it's probably the apostle who? The observation skills in this room just continue to amaze me, right? Maybe the fact that it's in 2 Peter, right? But that reference, 2 Peter, is at the very end of Peter's life. And here's what he'd come to realize. Here's what he'd learned. I need more than ever the grace of God today. I need to continue to be growing in this. And he passed that on to others. See, both of these great leaders had learned and shared this truth. The disciples' life, it's begun by grace. Now, I could say, if I wanted to be generic, the Christian life begins by grace, but I want to keep us focused on, of course, where Jesus wants us to end. You know, the disciples' life begins by grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, great reminders. "For by grace you've been saved through faith." They were like, never forget that it's this grace of Jesus that we received through faith that saved us. In other words, we wouldn't have forgiveness without the grace of Jesus. We would never have a reconciled relationship with God if it weren't for what Jesus did and the fact that we have come to him in faith saying, I need that in my life. And the rest of verse, you know, rest of verse says, you can't work for it, you can't earn it. It's a gift that way. You don't work to be a Christian, you don't work to be a disciple, you can't earn. It's not by religion, it's not by church membership, baptism, doing the best you can, you know, doing what you think is right, any of that stuff is like, no, it's grace that does it. And it's activated when you take God his word, you respond to him that way. Very few people, at least at this point, would go like, I don't think it's by grace. It's like, no, I understand, that's true. The disciples' life begins that way. Here's where we begin to miss it, though. Practically, for sure. Theoretically, maybe. Not only is the disciples' life begun by faith, but the disciples' life is lived by grace. In other words, you can't do it without it. You can think about it this way, this gift of God to us, that he's given to us in salvation. How many here have the gift of wheels? I mean, if God were to give you this, how many go like, I'd take it. Yeah, I'd take that, all right? It's like, that's a gift. Now, if I were to ask how many have been blessed with wheels in here, I might have to modify that a little bit, because you're going like, mine is not a blessing right now. All right. So if I were just to say, how many in here have or have had or hope to have someday a car. All right, everybody's good. Yep, we are car people. We like cars. How many of you car people have ever had the experience of running out of gas? Let me see it. Unashamedly, get them up there. If you're not raising it, somebody's looking at you right now going get it up there because I was with you when it happened. You are just cruising along, right? It's all good, right? When all of a sudden, what happens? Yeah, in essence, it stops happening. I'm like, God, I'm going anywhere. You pull over. Now, here's the question. Do you still have the gift? Do you still have the gift of wheels at this point? Yeah, you do. You've got it there. You can sit in it. Radio works. You can get out and polish it if you wanted. You can wave at people on the way by and check out my wheels here, right? You could even have, this has happened to my oldest, when he ran out of gas, had all of the younger siblings get out and push him. And it still works. You could push it, right? And it'll go places. It's not going to operate like the Creator intended for it to, even though you got it and you're still, the owner of it, right? Here's what's important to learn for us. And that is that grace is the fuel for living. That is, grace is the fuel for living the life of a disciple. If you don't have grace, then you're not going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to operate the gift that God has given to you that way. I like what Dallas Willard in just a couple of sentences just said so much. So I put it on our handout so you can all take it with you and look at it. But just, think about grace. He said, there is so much more to grace than the moment of mercy, so much more than just the moment of mercy that rescued us from ourselves. Grace is not merely compassion or mercy or love. It's not just the inescapable goodness of God that washes over all of creation. Grace is an active power working in us and through us. Grace is an active power that enables a person to do otherwise things impossible for us to do. Summarize it this way, that grace enables me to do what I couldn't do without it. Grace is the power of God that lets me do what I couldn't do without this power of God. So let's just use this question so we can maybe dig a little deeper here for just a second. Examine ourselves with this. What do I need in my life? What do I need God's help for, His grace, in my life to be able to do? What do you need God's grace to be able to achieve? What do you need God's grace to be able to accomplish? What do you need God's grace to be able to live? I want you to think about that for a second. Well, I take us back to a very meaningful instance in Jesus' disciples' lives, the 12. And in this day, they had somebody, a dad in fact, bring his son to them that was in great need of deliverance. There was a demon that was tormenting this boy, making the parents' lives miserable, shredding them emotionally. But the boy, that was where the greatest, you just look at him and just the pity of what he was going through at the hand of this demonic oppression that was upon him. So the dad heard that the disciples were in town, and the dad knew that the disciples had cast out demons. They're very capable of this. So he brings his son to them and says, "Can you cast this demon out of my son?" And the disciples go "You bet your boots we can. So bring him over here." Now the disciples had done this. They had for over 2 years been able to cast demons out of people that were afflicted with them. So when they began to rebuke the demon, to tell him that he had to go. Nothing was happening. In fact, everybody could tell things were getting worse. And the dad was looking at them, and you could see the panic in his eye. The antagonizers that had kind of, you know, been with them on the fringe there, they were piling on the disciples, going like, so really shows what you guys have got, you know, shows where God's at with you, you know, where this whole Jesus thing is going, isn't it? So they're embarrassed to say the least, at which time Jesus walks up and goes like, hey, what's going on here? And the dad, you know, just tells him, like, I brought my son here and your disciples couldn't help me out. And can you help me out? And Jesus is like, yeah, sure. And he rebukes the demon and he casts him out of the boy and he's good and the dad's good. And when the disciples are leaving, they go to Jesus and go like, hey, Jesus, what's up? Why couldn't we do that? I mean, what was so unique in this? And Jesus looks at him. And he says to him, and I paraphrase just a little bit here, he goes like, you know, you really weren't even depending upon God a little bit when you were trying to do that. He said, honestly, you didn't even pray for God's help in doing this work of God. How much do I need God's grace? What do I need God's grace to be able to do in my life? So my perspective, you know, from me, I've been teaching and preaching God's word for like 40 years now. Preparing, you know, messages and talks and standing up in front of people and delivering them, little groups, big groups, you know, like that. So if I were to ask you, do I need God's grace to prepare a message? Do I need God's grace to be able to stand up and talk to people there? What would you say? Let me change the question. Can I prepare a message? Can I stand up and communicate, hopefully well? Can I communicate with people? Can I do that without God's grace in my life? Yes or no? I can do that. I can prepare a message on my own. I mean, I've worked this craft for a long time. I teach others how to do it. I can stand up and communicate, you know, to people there, study communication, work on it continually. I could do that without the grace of God. Which you go like, that may be the bad news. But I've learned how much I need God's grace. To do something I could do, but to do it at a level or in a way that I couldn't do it without God. You follow me there? Whether it's in study and it's like, depending upon God, there's an insight. It's like, you know, that's just, you know, like, that's an important insight that I just have there. Or in teaching and somebody comes up afterwards and says, hey, let me tell you what God was doing when you're talking up there. And I'm just going like, wow. You know, that, you know, blown away by that. See, I've learned how important grace is in doing something that I could do without it, but doing it with it is the game changer. So, think about your job. Can you do your job without the grace of God? Yes or no? Whatever your craft is, and most of you are good at your craft, you can do it as a good Christian or as a good disciple. You do your job with integrity, check. You do your job hard working, check. You do it with honesty, check. You do it, you kind of watch out for everybody's interest, check. I mean, you can do that. And you can do that without the grace of God, right? Because you're good at it. You can teach others to do it. But with the grace of God. Have you discovered that yet? Doing what you do depending upon God. I mean, just going into work saying, God, I need to be grace dependent today. Would you help me to do what I do, but with your help and strength? Do you think that would make a difference? Might it be the difference between having the car, pushing the car, and actually being able to get in the car and feel something that's beyond you? Now, do not hear me say that if you are grace dependent, that you're going to get all of your sales. Do not hear me say that you're going to immediately be promoted, that you're never going to be laid off, that you're never going to have to lay off people, that every company you're involved in or every endeavor you're in is going to be accessed. Do not hear me say that, because I'm not saying that. Grace is the prosperity, you know, lucky charm. It's not that. But what it does do is it enables me to do what I couldn't do without God in my life. Think about, what do I need God's grace or help? What area of my life do I need God's grace in? What area would you like God's help in your life? Bottom line. Over, you know, kind of taking our last couple weeks, you know, tying together here. Each of the four dynamics, remember them? Love, hope, faith, grace. Each of these four dynamics are essential for a disciple. They're interactive, they're interdependent. And with each holds so much more. Whether you're basic, intermediate, advanced, expert, but there's still so much more that they have for you if you will take and use them. So, this week, as you're reading in the Bible, and this is going to be just so good, so helpful. As you're reading in the Bible, would you just look for, what does God tell you about faith anytime it pops up, or grace? Just additional insight from God. Faith, grace, just, you know, whether you write it down or not, but just pay attention to that. And this week, as we begin to engage in these, whether you'd say, I'm really leaning into the faith thing, I need to lean into the grace thing. Faith might be, what's my next yes that I'm gonna, you know, that God is asking me for. Grace is, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is where I desire God and his help are working in my life, whatever that is, and just coming to him that way and saying, help me to engage in it. Help me to dig deep, to discover what's there for me and to bring it out into life. Would you pray with me? Help us, please, Lord. When we hear a teaching, to listen to you about where we could use this teaching right now. I pray that all of us that would say that we're Christians would look to see whether we have chosen to be active as a disciple of yours, a follower of yours. And for some, that'll be that decision today. Being a Christian isn't enough. I need to be a follower. For some, becoming that Christian or follower today by saying, Jesus, I've never come to you for grace through faith, but that's what I'd like to do now. It's best I know how. We're going to rejoice and thank you as we see your ongoing workings, Lord, as we see these dynamics bring about growth and change. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen.